God speaks to him in the burning bush and tells him he's got a plan. He's got a plan for his people. He's got a plan to rescue his people from slavery and to bring them into a new land. And we've been looking at that story. And through that story, we've been looking at a number of different things that helps us to remember who God is and what he does. We've looked at that God cares. God cares for his people. He sees the needs of his people and he cares. God calls. God called Moses through the bush, spoke to him and said, this is my plan. And God speaks to each one of us corporately and individually and says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan for your life. God provides. When he sets out a call in our lives, he also provides everything that we need for it. Provision comes. It's what we need for the vision that he's given to us. So he's a God who provides everything that we need. He's a God of power. Moses was worried about going back to the place that he knew, the people that knew him. And he said, who am I going to say? And God says, I am. He says, but what happens if that's not enough? And God tells him, I'm going to send you with power and demonstrate it through a staff. And we saw the power that came that defeated all of the gods of that land through the plagues. But God has power. God saves. God rescued his people. Ultimately, through the shedding of a lamb for the Egyptian, for the Israelites, daubing the blood on the door, rescuing them. And then it was time to leave. And we saw in our story today, as they set off, they thought they were out. They got away from Egypt. The Pharaoh had said, go. Don't stay in my land anymore. In fact, he gave them a whole load of stuff to take with them as well. But then Pharaoh realized he'd made a mistake. All of his workforce had gone. All of his slaves were leaving. And so he went to chase after them. And we saw there that the people of God had got to the sea. They thought they were free, but they weren't quite sure what to do next. And then suddenly the Egyptian armies were coming behind them. God defended them with a fire. And then Moses stood, placed his staff in the sea, and the waters parted. The people of God could walk through the water out into the wilderness and heading towards the promised land, the place that God had prepared for them. It's an amazing story. It's a story that probably most of us will know. If not because we've seen Prince of Egypt, the film, or it's just one of those familiar stories. But today we want to think, well, what difference that? I don't live in Egypt. I'm not a slave under a pharaoh. I'm not stuck in this place, and God's not said, I've got to get to somewhere else, and there's a big lake in the way, and I've got to walk through the lake. What does that mean for me, however young or old we are this morning? What does that mean for us today? Well, God is not calling us to go from one place, a place of physical slavery. He's not calling us to go from that place into a different place, but he is calling us to go from an old way of living into a new land, the promised land. For the people of God, the promised land was a place in the Old Testament, but for us, it's the kingdom of God, of what that looks like for us. A journey to be taken, that God has made the way to us to get there, that his sacrifice, that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the lamb that needed to be shed for us so that we could get away, that we could be free, that we pass through the waters of baptism, the symbolism of the Old Testament speaking into our lives, the spiritual lives of who we are and who God's called us to be. But what does it mean for us individually and corporately? I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need two volunteers who are happy to hold up a piece of paper. Come on then. Yep. Someone over the side. Someone I want to hold. Oh, Matt's going to do it. Fantastic. Thank you, Matt. Great. Okay, so we have got all things. And in a minute, I'm going to get Clough to come and read to us to help us with the new things. You can keep hold of that piece of paper. We don't need to put it up yet there. Brilliant. Okay, so I'm not going to be able to write on this. I'll have to put it on four and then pick it back up again. Okay, so it was once described that the things of the things that are the old things that we needed to get away from, for the people of God, it was slavery in Egypt. But there's three things. I'm going to put it down on here and I'm going to write the three things that I want us to think about today. The first is sadness. The second is sickness. Brilliant. And the third is Satan, the work of the enemy against us. So the old things that we're thinking about, the things that God has rescued us from, are sadness, sickness, and Satan, the works of the enemy in our lives. We are people who have been freed from these things. Clough is going to come and read to us from the book of Revelation, which talks about the new, a new heaven and a new earth. Just listen out as Clough reads to some of the phrases that speak into these things of old, the sadness, the sickness, and to Satan.
Reading is from Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, and prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and their God, and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the words of the Lord.
Thanks, Clough, for reading for us. Did we hear those words? The words of the new. They're in it. I'm going to get Matt to write them for me as we say it, and then he can hold it up as we say. But did you see the things of the old, which was sadness, which was sickness, which was Satan? We see in the New Jerusalem that he wipes away every tear from their eyes, that there's no more mourning. So the new things is no more mourning. No more sadness. Sickness. It says that there will be no more death or pain. So there's no more death and no more pain. God is making a new thing. He has made and is making a new thing. And at the beginning, we're reminded that God is dwelling with his people. He's coming to be with his people. But it says that he sees in that place a new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there's no longer any sea. For for the people reading that, they see, they recognize and see the sea as a place of evil. And so that absence of the sea represents the absence of evil and the absence of Satan, the new place, the new promised land that God has given us. It's a place that we're called to be in. It's our promised land as the people of God. Moses' story, Moses' journey was a physical journey from one place to another. Our journey is the same journey. To step out of places of slavery, places of things that tie us up and hold us back. To step out of these places and to head into. Remembering that we live in a time where it's now and not yet. That God has freed and saved us from these things, but we are still working it through. I need one more volunteer. Matthew, you can do it for me. And Natalie, do you want to come and help? So Matthew, I'd love you to clench your fist up for me. Because our fist is going to represent who we are and what we do. And Natalie, I'd love you just to wrap some masking tape around his hand. Not too much, because he wants to be able to open it up. That's great. Good. So you see, when our fists are clenched, there's two things we can't do. Firstly, our symbol of praise is a hand held high and lifted up, reaching out to touch God. Matthew, just, we can't do it. When we're tied down and we're wrapped up, we can't do it. The second thing we can't do is we can't shake hands with others. But God has set us free. God has broken the chains. He has set us free so that those things. So freedom has come, which means that we can praise God. We can praise God. And we can reach out to others. But we live in a time where some of those things are not quite dealt with. Some of those things that hold us back, the sadnesses that we carry, the sickness that we have, the works of the enemy, we're still working through, but it doesn't stop us from praising God and reaching out to others. So we want to recognize that. We want to recognize that as a reality that we live in at this time. But God has broken it. And ultimately, we will see fulfillment in this time. And we can expect to see it in this time. But if not, when God has done it all, when the new is completely finished, when his kingdom completely comes. So to finish, thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. Brilliant. Good job. One final sentence from Scripture. As we come to worship God and we come to step and finish the end of this part of the story with Moses, is from Galatians 5, verse 1. And it says this, which will be on the screen. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Written to a people who are trying to return, a New Testament people, but trying to return back to the things of old for them, to the ways that they used to live. But an invitation to us today to step into the freedom that God has won for us. To step into the new place that God has prepared so that we are people who praise God. It says on the other side of the sea, as the people crossed, they built a cairn. They built an altar that said, this is what God has done. We can be a people who gather together here when we come on Sundays or whenever, when we gather in our communities to remind each other, look, this is what God has done. He set us free. So as we come to the end of the summer season, but we begin to think about what God is wanting to do next, we want to remind ourselves that we are free people, that he set each one of us free. And so we're going to get the band up and we're going to worship again. But it may be for some of us that we just hear that and we think, but actually, those three things resonate for me. I feel like there's some stuff around sadness. There's some stuff around sickness. The stuff that is just the mess and the work of the enemy that has just been coming against us and has drained us and tired us. And we just want someone to pray. Just to stand with us as we begin to think about stepping out into this new academic year, this new season of what God wants to do. Let's start from that place of saying, God has set us free. We want to stand in that. So why don't we stand? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to go into time of worship, and then Natalie will give us leaders for a little bit longer in terms of how we might respond to what God wants to do and what God wants to say.